Blog Talk Radio.
Can anybody out there hear my voice? Does anybody out there really care for a missing child? I'm a stranger in a strange place, and I don't know how I got here.
Good evening, everyone. You are listening to Voices for Justice tonight, September 4th, 2010. I'm your host, Michelle Bart, and tonight we explore the ongoing search efforts for missing 7-year-old Kyren Horman. We're live tonight from Portland, Oregon, where Kyren was last seen 3 months ago, June 4th. Tonight our guests are private investigator James Copenhaver, host of the Levi Page Show, Levi Page, and Mary Beth and Eric of THSP, Terry Horman Support Page. Our guests will be taking your call shortly. The call-in number is 347-838-8622. Again, that call-in number is 347-838-8622. The chat line is also open. You can log on to blogtalkradio.com/helpingheroes and click chat. Before we begin, we were recently introduced to an up-and-coming singer, a teenage singer named Emil. His song, Missing Child, is our new intro song for this show. We thank him, and his link can be found on our Blog Talk Radio homepage. Thanks again, Emil, and the song is just beautiful. We welcome everyone back to Voices for Justice. In our second season, we have many great shows and guests, and we continue to explore cases, issues, and heroes making a difference. However, tonight we return on the date in which 3 months earlier, on June 4th, Kyren Horman, a 7-year-old, went missing from his school after being dropped off by his stepmother, Terry Horman, and by 8:30 a.m. was gone without a trace. We invited Kyren's parents, Desiree Young and Kane Horman, as well as Terry and her attorney and the investigators, but we have not received any response from any of them. But we welcome them in the future on this show. And we're going to welcome our guests also in a few minutes, and they are following this case. In the meantime, the tip line, if you have any information on Kyren Horman, is 503-261-2847. Again, that tip line is 503-261-2847. And I welcome all my guests this evening. Levi, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Levi. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Give our audience a rundown of the case file as we know it today on the Kyren Horman case.
Well, right now it's been 3 months since Kyren Horman has been seen. He was last seen June 4th, 3 months to this day at Skyline Elementary School, where his stepmother, Terry Horman, said that she dropped him off in the morning. He vanished. He hasn't been seen since. And Terry Horman is the stepmother. Like I said, she's the last person to see Kyren alive. She, that we know of, failed 2 polygraphs, and she hasn't been cooperating with investigators, and she now has attorneys, and she's lawyered up. And Kane and Desiree, Kyren's biological parents, have both said that they believe that Terry is involved. They do think that Kyren is alive. They don't think that he's dead. They think that she has him stashed somewhere. That's a quote from Desiree Young, and they think that she has an accomplice, someone that helped her. There's also, into this picture, this bizarre story is a landscaper. This landscaper was approached by Terry Horman months before Kyren vanished, and this landscaper said that Terry Horman approached him and offered him money to kill Kane Horman. He obviously didn't go through with that and instead went to the police with that information. And then we have Dee Dee Spiker, who's another character in this case. She was a friend of Terry Horman. She worked as a gardener. And around that time frame, when Terry Horman is unaccounted for, Dede Spiker is also unaccounted for. She was gardening at her job. She mysteriously vanished for about 2 hours. Her coworkers tried to reach her on her cell phone. They couldn't get a hold of her, and they had asked her repeatedly what her whereabouts were, and she did not give them any answer, and she offered up no explanation. She has an attorney, and as of now, we're not getting any details on what the extent of her cooperation is. And Kane Horman has recently spoke out to the media, Michelle, in the local media, and Kane Horman has said that he's still acting as if Kyren's alive, and he thinks that Kyren is going to return home. Kane said that he has a backpack with school supplies in it waiting for Kyren. He signed Kyren up for soccer, and it's heartbreaking because this 3 months has been so bad for them, and not only is he going through his child who's missing, he's also learned that his ex-wife, his soon-to-be ex-wife, Terry Horman, may be involved. She's not being truthful. She's not cooperating. And she had an affair with a man by the name of Michael Cook, so he's fighting a divorce battle. And, again, Kyren will be going into the third grade. And also, Desiree Young is speaking out to the media, and she sent a message directly to Terry Horman, Kyren's stepmom, and she said that Terry's going to go to jail. And she says that she believes that Terry had an accomplice that helped her out. And she sent a strong message to Terry. The police are not going to give up until Kyren Horman is found, and said that Terry's at a crossroads and that she has a choice to make. And obviously, Terry and Desiree want, Desiree and Kane want Terry to come forward with any information she has to tell them where their son is. And they believe that she's not being truthful, and they believe that she's lying. And right now, the police are getting thousands of tips, and they're going to be back in court for the divorce proceedings, both sides, Kane and Terry, October 7th. And those two parties are going to be battling it out on whether Terry Horman, where she got $350,000 to pay for her attorneys. And also, this month, September 21st, a judge is going to rule whether or not Terry Horman should be held in contempt of court for sharing details of a restraining order against her filed by Kyren's father, Kane Horman. She showed that to Michael Cook. Michael Cook made copies with his cell phone, took pictures of it. That's a violation of the restraining order. She's going to be in court, and she's going to face some sort of punishment for that if she's found to be violated it. And she could face anywhere from a fine to a year in jail for this. And obviously, if she gets jail time, that would put extreme amount of pressure on her to tell what she knows. And the judge can rule if she violates it, she gets $6,250 to a year in jail. And you can bet that Terry is nervous over that, because inmates in that jail are probably not going to look on her very fondly. And I think that we're going to get something in this case soon, because I think that the pressure is mounting on Terry Horman.
Let me ask you this. I see that James isn't on yet. So maybe you can answer this, Levi. The majority of the information that you've just quoted in regards to the case in itself has been provided to media, the majority of that, by Kane Horman and Desiree Young. Do you think that the information is being given to them by police, knowing that they run to the media to indicate this information to the public?
Well, that very well could be the case, to put pressure on Terry Horman, who police obviously are focusing on. And also, you know, I believe all of this information is going to be true, because a lot of it has come out in divorce proceedings. And attorneys are not going to put something out there in a divorce proceeding unless it's true, because that would put their reputation on the line and they could face many sanctions. And I think that it would be smart for the police to continue to put this pressure on Terry via all rounds, through the media, through the people close to Terry, and from law enforcement themselves.
Do you think that in early on when the police showed the flyer, obviously, you know, if Terry is the last person to be with Kyren, it would only make sense to have a flyer with the vehicle she was driving that morning, as well as her face and her friend's face. Do you think that that flyer gave major reason for speculation and public prosecution onto Terry before she's had a fair trial?
You know, I don't really know about that. I think the police were just doing their job. I mean, you know, they're not worried about the right to a fair trial. That's what the defense is worried about, and that's the defense's hurdle. If the evidence against your client is so strong and it's being released to the media, that's really not the police's, you know, first priority. Their first priority is to find Kyron. They don't care who it implicates.
So let me ask, because I know you've been following this case very closely and you've been reporting on it occasionally also on Issues. With the person of interest or the accusations of a murder to hire plot, why do you think police haven't arrested her, at least for that portion of all the accusations that have been given towards Terry? Why hasn't she been seen as a person of interest or the police come out and said that yet?
You know, that's puzzling that she hasn't even been arrested for the murder for hire plot, Michelle, and that's interesting. You know, I've been wondering that myself, and part of the reason could be is that when the landscaper went to the police wired him up and sent them over to Terry's house. And obviously they wanted to try to get confessions out of Terry Horman, you know, like the Euron Vandersloot case. They got a confession out of Euron Vandersloot where he basically admitted to disposing of Natalie Holloway's body. They wanted to do the same with Terry, but Terry didn't take the bait. Instead, when the landscaper was in her front yard, she called 911 and reported him to the police. So obviously he didn't take the bait, and I'm guessing that it would have been his word versus hers. And in Oregon, you have 60 days to take something to trial. So if they charged her, she can say, I want a speedy trial, and they would have to try the case in 60 days. So that could be why they haven't charged her with the hit, because she didn't take the bait, and they would have to take it to trial so fast.
We have a caller. I'm going to take a call, and then I'm going to go to Mary Beth and Eric. Caller from 314, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Hi, this is Janet from St. Louis, and my question is, how on earth could Terry be the one that did it? Right away, the police said that there was no risk to the public, and yet, how could she have possibly known the school would not miss him all day? That right there is, I think, where I stopped. And a lot of what the gentleman just said, I really had trouble following because I don't see a lot of sense to it. You know, if the police don't have probable cause, they can't arrest her. Had they probable cause, she would be behind bars right now. And my concern has always been that the real perpetrator is getting away with this because for some reason they had an instant focus on Ms. Harmon.
And
other than that, I'm just going to enjoy
it. With many of the cases that you've worked with, you've seen that a lot, Levi, where, you know, the police or the investigation focus on one individual, and then, boom, years later, they're found not to have been the person that have done the crime. Kind of like in the JonBenet Ramsey situation, which took 15 years to get the parents off. So,
well,
I mean,
look at the JonBenet Ramsey. Well, look at the JonBenet Ramsey case. When JonBenet Ramsey turned up dead, the parents of JonBenet Ramsey, instead of cooperating with the police, hired an attorney and even hired a media individual who basically gave their spin to the media instead of cooperating with the police. So maybe if Terry's innocent, then maybe she should cooperate with the police. That's how you get cleared, is cooperating with the police. They cannot clear someone unless they sit down and say, hey, I didn't do it, and pass their polygraphs, and she hasn't done that yet. And nobody's saying there's
probable
cause.
How do we know
cause.
That? How do we know she has passed polygraphs? Number one, in the majority of states, in the majority of research I've done in this and other cases, polygraphs are not admissible in court because they are not a rock-solid piece of evidence.
They are admissible in court if both they are admissible if both the prosecution and the defense agree. In most cases, they're not going to agree to allow it into trial. And that's been what's reported in the media, is that she failed two polygraphs. She
no, it's been reported by Kane and Deseret. It is not. They've reported it to the media. Okay, so right there we have no evidence. We have Kane, who seems to, there's a lot of stuff that people have questions on, and I don't understand. I really hope this hour brings it out. Why are we focusing on this one woman when there's so many other viable options?
Because what viable options? What other options?
Well, she asked a question earlier. You asked a question, caller, in regards to, you know, what you had said in regards to Terry. How do we know that she hasn't been cooperating? But from what I understand, when Kane Horman and Deseret Young came out and bashed Terry Horman, the police held a press conference following that and said they disagreed with them and said,
exactly,
by all means, Terry has been cooperating, and as well as her attorney. So that was kind of weird that, you know, here's Deseret and Kane saying that she is not cooperating, or implied she wasn't, so that everyone would think she's not cooperating with investigators.
Well, if Terry Horman was
cooperating, came right out and said, yeah, she is, we disagree with them, basically.
And early on, they asked the lady police spokesman, a lieutenant, I don't recall her name, they ask her if Kane's brother, who is a convicted pedophile, who is in jail right now, they said, is he part of the investigation? And she said, he certainly was. And we've heard no more about that.
We haven't heard anything about him. That's a whole other ballgame.
Right.
Thank you for your call, caller. Mary Beth and Eric, you both started the Terry Horman support page. Is that because you believe she's innocent, or what's this? I just found your page 2 days ago, so what's that all about?
We started the page because we just don't think that she's been given a fair shake. We think that she was railroaded, that she was how would you describe it, Mary Beth?
Well, from day one, I knew, just from what the media was reporting, it's your typical media bash fest. There was absolutely no evidence to back up anything they were saying. Terry was the first person, the last person to see him after, you know, she dropped him off at school. Reports came out that other children saw him, but, you know, that's being discredited. They don't want you to, you know, mention anything about that. Just everything, nothing sounded right. There was no evidence. And being a mother myself and seeing what, you know, she was going through, it just seemed extremely, extremely unfair. So, you know, I got together with a couple people, you know, like Eric and a few others, and I said, we need to do something. We need to stop the public persecution of Terry. And that's pretty much how the, you know, the page started. We stand up for her, not only her constitutional rights, but also, you know, as parents ourselves, if my daughter were to go missing tomorrow, of course I would be the last person to see her because she's my shadow. And, you know, the same for Eric, the same for, you know, the other people. It's a complete injustice, and it is not getting justice for Kyren.
Yes, exactly.
Do you, how many members are part of this group?
There's about a little over 200 members. Active members, I would say, probably in the neighborhood of 10 to 20. It depends on any given day.
Mm-hmm.
And is this page supported by Terry, or has Terry and her attorney made any comments or appreciation towards all of you having a voice for her?
We have no idea. Nobody, none of us have been in contact with Terry Horman since maybe the very beginning of June, a handful of people. We have a lot of her old friends on the page. They're there to show support, having their name there, but they're not active. And I couldn't tell you what Terry does. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Oh, We have another caller on the line from the Oregon area. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
I live in the Portland area, and I have been following the case from the beginning. The media started focusing on Terry right away. Law enforcement put her on a flyer already the Sunday after he went missing on Friday. And although at the time, you know, they said this is just normal to, because she was the last person to see him, that was the beginning of it. And since then, it's never stopped. There's been a lot of really strange behavior by the family. First, they wouldn't speak to the press at all. Then, you know, it all split up. So my concern really has been that there's been no evidence brought forth. Everything that you've talked about has been said through Kane. Law enforcement itself has released nothing. What makes you
Why wouldn't Kane lie? Why would Kane Orman lie? What would
be
his motive?
He should be a suspect. He should be a suspect right along with Terry.
Why wouldn't he lie?
Pardon me?
Why
would he lie?
Why would he lie? But I'm
Yeah, give some of his motivations for why. Yeah, give him some motivations for why he would lie about his wife. I mean, he was married to her. There would be no motivations for him to lie about her.
So if he's mixed up in the whole thing, if he really knows, if he has some reason to really believe that Kyren is stashed somewhere, as he keeps saying, he must know something he's not telling. He must know
Definitely,
something
because
that...
That's kind of odd to hear parents say that.
Well, the odd parents believe... Yeah, if I could finish, that would be great.
That's different not to give up. But he and Tessa Ray have bet on this thing of he's alive. It's been 3 months. Nobody has come up with any evidence. Nobody even knows what the crime is. It's the strangest thing, and yet they keep beating on Terry to the point where anyone, like for me right now, my name is Emily, but now everybody is going to believe that I'm Terry because they can't believe anyone would not. Why do you think she's guilty? Give me one piece of actual evidence.
It is a
I'll give you
case, not hearing anything from law enforcement. The Casey Anthony case, we heard...
We're not talking about Casey Anthony. You tell me one piece of evidence against Terry Horman that's actual evidence, not just behavior you don't like.
Why was she sexting 4 days after Kyren vanished?
Who cares? That has nothing to do with it.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That's behavioral evidence.
No, it's not evidence. It is
yes,
not evidence.
Behavioral evidence. The FBI uses behavioral evidence to draw a profile on someone. The FBI
We're pretty technical, you and I, and maybe the folks on the show tonight as well. We know that when you're dealing with, first of all, like the hit on her husband, that was, she never gave money to anyone. She never met with anyone face-to-face. It was always over the internet, by email, texting, sexting, or whatever she was doing. That is alleged. We do not know for certain that she was doing that.
Well,
and
Michael
we
Cook
that
said
she's
she
married
did.
To a high technical person. So I don't know who did what and where Kyren is and everything else, but when you bring in technology to it, unless you have some hardcore proof that the person behind the phone was actually doing that texting, then I don't think, just like a lie detector test, it shouldn't be held up in court because there
well,
is no proof
Michael,
who's behind the keys.
Well, Michael Cook said that he actually met up with Terry Horman at his home. He's seen her
Michael
at his
Cook,
home. They met up at his home.
Who cares
yeah.
if he met up with her? That has
Horman.
Nothing to do with Kyren.
Yes,
the
it does. I mean, that shows what her motivations were. Her motivations were not on finding Kyren. Her motivations
oh,
were
Michael,
having an affair with this man. So, go ahead.
So, anybody else before we go to the next caller? Thank you. I won't. Emily,
thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in. I want to go to statistics because, you know, Voices for Justice, we're here for Kyren, despite what some people may think. We're here to get his name and face out there because if for certain he is with somebody – then that person should be held liable as well. Again, that tip line is 503-261-2847. But I'll tell you what my problem is and my issues are tonight. And that is when the Kyron Horman case came to be, I was working with three families at that time whose children are missing. And they all asked me the same question. Why didn't my child get this attention? So my question, and I will throw it to you, Levi, in a few minutes, but I want to throw out some statistical data from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. In Oregon and Washington alone, together, both states, we have 126 missing children right now. In Oregon alone, we have 49, and in Washington, 77. In the greater Portland area, if you're not including Kyron, we have 15 missing children from September 4th, 2009 to September 4th, 2010. Today, there are four children, including Kyron, missing in Portland, ages 5, 2, and 15, and I have never seen or heard about any one of those children. From the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System, NAMIS, in Oregon, a total of 87 people, including children, are missing and gone without a trace. And in Washington, 156. So my question here, and I'm going to throw this at Levi because you work on many cases as well, with these startling statistics, including the recent ones in the last year, we have four children missing, and all we've heard about is Kyron. I feel bad for Kyron. I hope we find him soon, but I want to know why this child got 30 billboards in three different languages, and it took Lindsay Baum to get one after 10 months she was missing. Why most families don't even get one billboard? And then let's talk about resources. In the state of Oregon, this case has become the Kaylee Anthony case of Oregon. It has exceeded more resources than any other case in Oregon history, according to the investigators or the media. So I want to know what makes this case more important than every other child and family, distraught families, that are missing. Levi, you want to weigh in on that one?
Well, I think it has to do with the local media, because when the local media picks up on it, then the national media will, when they find out that a lot of people in the area are interested. And I think that what needs to be happening is more people need to look out on other cases, and more people need to start emailing the media, and start out with the local media in the area of where the case originates, and get local interest in the case. And then once you get local interest, then national interest would follow. And I think that this case just grab the heartstrings of people in Oregon, and then the national media caught on after that.
Anybody else want to weigh in on that one?
Yeah, I'd like to weigh in. I think Levi's right. Portland is a huge city, and when the local media was so quick to pick up on it, and they were just relentless, they just played it over and over and over again. And actually, where I'm at, I didn't hear about this until a week later, we all caught on. But unfortunately, I don't think it's Kyron that they're chasing. I think when you see the news and what comes out next, it's not about Kyron. It's Terry Horman did this, Terry Horman did that. She was sexting this person. Her emails were leaked to somebody else. This bogus murder for hire plot. It's not about the cute little boy with the glasses anymore. This has turned into a soap opera, and that's what keeps people on this case. Exactly. They can't get enough of it. They are waiting. They refresh their pages at KGW. They want to see what the next bit of juicy info coming out about Terry is, and that is what's keeping it in the news. Which is all right, because it keeps Kyron's face out there, but, at what cost?
I'd like to
say exactly, and I want to make it clear also, because I work with media every day, that without media, all of these faces and cases, all of the children you've ever seen returned, young or old, including the J.C. Dugards to the Elizabeth Smarts, it was due because of media. And media matters where a missing person is, and that there is no doubt about that. But the media can only cover what they're given. And right now, my concern is everything that they're being given is not coming from police. It's coming from the biological parents. How do we know what they are giving media is what police really want filtered out?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody?
I think you can tell why this is still in the media is because of what you see in the comments under each of the stories. Because they're changing, and Mary Beth and I have been watching them,
mm-hmm.
and now they're half on our side. Even though the media is still anti-Terry Horman, half of the comments are pro-Terry Horman.
So many.
Well, everyone wants answers, and unfortunately this family, I don't think it's going to end with Terry with their dirty little secrets, as we know to be true, but
no.
That's another show. We have a caller from Oregon. Caller, are you on the line?
Yes.
Do you have a question, ma'am?
Yes, I do. I want to know why nobody's looking into the school. The school is the entity that lost Kyren. Whether Terry took him or someone else, and I don't believe Terry did take him, the school is ultimately responsible for the children.
Absolutely.
And the media is ignoring this. I'm a parent in Oregon. I'm very upset about this. And nobody is looking at the school. Can you give me some answers why?
The media did look at the school up until Terry took the second lie detector test. The media was reporting about the backpack and the lunchbox left at the school. And then when she took the second lie detector test, the media conveniently forgot about that backpack and that lunchbox left at the school, and it was never reported on again.
That's right. His lunchbox and his backpack were left at school, and there were also supposedly two children who saw him at school, a second grader and a seventh grader. But yet now the media is discounting those people who saw him after Terry left. And let's not forget, Terry has an alibi from, I think, 9:15 on. She only has one period that's missing.
That's a very good point, because when you look at the timeline, I live here in Portland, so I know the route and everything they said she took and all the stops she's made. And it would be very difficult if we're talking that she's murdered this boy, her and this gal, Didi. It would be very difficult to get from the school, shoot over to Sovi Island, which there is no way in heck that she did anything by day over in Sovi Island, because
no.
It's a farmland. Everyone, bright daylight, somebody would have seen her. So now she's moving on to Hillsboro, Beaverton, which is 45 minutes away from the school. And she's making all these stops, going to the gym, and then getting home to post on Facebook by 1 o'clock.
With the baby in the car.
There's no
she
way
has
that
the baby in the
she
car.
Could have, with the baby in the car, there's no way that she could have done a heinous crime and the dogs and everybody not find Kyren at this point. So I tend to believe that he may still be alive, too. My concerns are there's too many mistruths here. You know, when I analyze folks or we put people on television, when you're lying or you're changing your story, then the question is why, especially if you knew nothing. My question is why was it that Kane Horman 1 minute stated he was home all day working, and then the next breath he told media that he kissed him goodbye and left for work. So those things don't play. And the only person not talking cannot lie, and that would be Terry at this point. I don't know who did what, but I have some reservations, too, in regards to the timeline of events, because then that means she handed him off to somebody, and there's somebody else involved, and he is alive and well, and that person needs to be found. So I agree with you there. And the school should take some more responsibility. And I think at this point, adding more cameras and a safety system in place to call home and things of that nature, I think they're doing it. But sometimes we tend to forget to do things because of the cost, and then in the end it's costing way too much and it's somebody's life. But I appreciate your call, ma'am. We have another caller from the Oregon area. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Hello?
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Voices for Justice. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Is it me now?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Okay. I have a question for Levi, if I may.
Sure.
Yeah, Levi, if Carrie Horman really knows where Kyren is, or she did something to Kyren, she knows what happened to him, and she told her attorney, and this little boy is still alive and in danger, would her attorney not be obligated, at least humanly, to report that?
As a human, if you have morals, you do, but under the Constitution, he's not. Most of the time, they try to get away around that by having a third party do it so they won't violate the attorney-client privilege.
Right. But I used to be, when this first came out, I was really, really, I was one of those that just immediately thought it was Terry, and I was determined it was Terry. But now I'm backtracking, and I can't follow the timeline and believe that Terry left with Kyren, number one. And number two, I kind of fear for Terry's life because the biological parents are putting so much out there that some kind of nut out in the public could hurt her. And I think that's unfair. But my biggest question was, if she really did this, she would have to tell her attorney. And if he were alive and could be brought home safely, I don't see how an attorney at all with any human dignity could not bring that child home.
We don't know what she's told her attorney.
Right, but if she would have told him the truth, I'm talking about if she would have been upfront and truthful with him, said, yes, I gave him to somebody and he's so-and-so place.
And again, if she has told him, how do we know that something was going on under that roof? We never hear about the sex thing that they all had going on either. And
right,
I'm wondering if the brother got arrested for molestation and he's still behind bars because his own family won't bail him out. Why is it that it's so hard for us in society to think, oh, well, wait a second, maybe he was crying to mom, always saying he didn't want to go back, and it had nothing to do with Terry and had everything
right.
to do with somebody else in the family.
I'm thinking the same thing, yeah.
Because my concern is that, yeah, we're hearing all this stuff that Terry and Desiree were best of friends, and now Desiree comes out and says, no, we never liked each other. She actually was with my husband and cheated with him and blah, blah, blah. We're hearing all this, but why aren't we hearing about why did Desiree have custody of her two kids and Terry, for 16 years, has had now three children and brought them up well? No one's talking about
right.
why James moved
right.
out all of a sudden.
Well,
you know,
it's
so much easier
yeah.
for us to say, well, James moved out. Maybe this was a ploy, and Terry set this whole thing up, when in
right.
reality, maybe Terry was getting everybody out because of the danger going on under that roof
right.
that has yet to come out yet.
Well, and I have my own suspicion. I think that, and I don't even know if I should really mention this, but I think there's somebody involved that wants to get Terry out of the way. I think she's being set up at this point. But I think we have two mothers' opinions. on one side of it, the natural mother says he's crying. He doesn't want to go back to the house. The other side of it is the stepmother says he's acting funny. I think he's having seizures. Well, why would she feel that way? And why would he be crying, I don't want to go to the house? We have two mothers that are saying the same thing.
And you've got Desiree and Kay now disagreeing with each other on how everything went down also.
So it doesn't make sense to me that if Kane thinks he's stashed and he's alive, I think that's wonderful. I want him home too. But if it were my child, and I can only say that because I can't relate to them, but if I were a parent and the step-parent in that house had tried to murder or kidnap and harm or sell or whatever the child, and that child's traumatized, why would Kane think that it would be okay to bring the kid back into the house, the same house where the traumatizer lived, and the memory of the traumatizer being around every corner of that house?
That's,
I mean,
true.
That doesn't make sense to me. I would sell the house and be prepared to have my child come into a house that wouldn't traumatize him with memories every 5 minutes.
And
I mean,
thank you for your call, ma'am. Levi, here's another question I have. Why, if the lawyer for Kane and Kane Horman have been quoted in the last couple of weeks as saying, I'm back to work, I've got to get on with my life, I'm taking care of my kids, why would you say, plural, kids, when your son's not home yet?
You know, I don't know about that. I mean, I guess he's still thinking that his child is alive. I mean, he doesn't want to think that his child is dead.
Well, I completely understand that. I mean, as any parent, if your child goes missing, you definitely want to believe he's alive. But I think there's a difference between listening to the likes of maybe Melissa Baum, whose daughter Lindsay has been missing over a year now, to the likes of Kane and Desiree, who are adamant that he's alive and they know where that he's stashed somewhere. And so now they're not just talking to Terry, they're talking to who has him, which I find very odd. Because it's almost like they know something or police have given them something. This is why I wish James was on the line, because I want to know if this is normal. If there's any police officers in the chat room or what have you, I want to know if it's normal. I've never heard of a police department filtering case information through to parents for them to bait a suspect or reel in the media. I've never heard of that before. Actually, police would prefer families don't speak. So that's why I find it very odd that people are thinking that this is what Multnomah County Sheriff's Department is doing.
Well,
but I'll play devil's advocate and say I don't believe they're doing that.
Well, in most cases, the police don't have people that they're zoning in on hire an attorney and not talk to them. Most cases, people talk, and the only reason that Terry's not talking is because she has a very high-profile, very seasoned attorney, and most people, in most cases, don't have them, so they talk and they yab. And in this case, the police have to do unusual things, and they have to use the media to get to Terry, because that's the only way they can get to Terry.
Well, they had plenty of time before she got lawyered up.
Yeah, but what she was telling them was probably not necessarily true, which is why we're hearing that she failed to polygraph.
Okay. Go ahead. Mary Beth or Eric?
I'm sorry, well, I totally missed that.
Well, I think the one time that the police did come out is when Desiree preceded her appeal to Terry with the police told me, or the law enforcement told us that Terry is not telling them the truth. She usually comes out and says, Terry is not telling the truth. But that one time that she said, law enforcement has just told us that Terry is not telling the truth, law enforcement had to come out and say, Terry Horman is is cooperating. Oh, yeah, law enforcement is told us that Terry is not cooperating. She said it like that. Then they came out and said Terry Horman has been cooperating with us. Terry Horman and her lawyer have been cooperating with us. So from then on, Desiree comes out and says, Terry Horman is not cooperating. She doesn't say Terry Horman is not cooperating with law enforcement. She's very careful on how she says it from now on, after that.
So, with 15 minutes left to go, where do we go from here? Where does the investigation go from here? We know that the grand jury is meeting. This is the longest grand jury I've ever seen. And we don't know for a fact what they're meeting about. Everyone would like to assume it's about Terry Horman, but who's to say it's not about somebody else? Because I go back to the first couple days, I found it very odd that the DA's office was in the house for a couple days soon after this happened. You don't typically see a district attorney's office going to the family of a missing child. So a lot of weird things have happened with this case, but like with any missing persons case, a lot of dirty laundry is going to be aired, and I don't think it's going to stop with Terry. And I think sooner or later the media will start running on other factors in this household, and it might be something that we're going to have a voice for justice for more than one child and maybe a couple others in that family. But at this point, where do we go from here, Levi? Where does the investigation go? I noticed a fundraiser happen this past week. And another odd situation, I have never seen a fundraiser take place where funds go to the Sheriff's Department in help for the search efforts for a missing child. Now I see how that could be if there wasn't already a foundation established, which was odd too, a foundation being established in Kyron's name only 3 months into this. But if the police came out months ago and said, we needed money, and then they said at a city council meeting, no, we were wrong, we're okay, and now they're taking money, you know, where's this investigation going, and why do they need more money?
Well, obviously they can't keep searching and searching and searching and searching on the taxpayer dollar, and I think that's where the private sector comes in. And I think the private sector came in there and donated some money with the help of Godfather's Pizza there in the area. I don't see anything wrong with that.
No, I agree. To save money on the taxpayers, I can understand that. We have one more call we're going to take from the Washington area. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for our panel? Hello. Good evening. Hello.
Yes, this is Cindy from Washington.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi,
from
Cindy.
Washington.
Okay, I just have, I'm listening to this, and, you know, going back to this Terry thing, I just feel that watching what the media put out there with not only this case, but with many cases, that somebody's behavior during troubled times does not constitute guilt. And I think maybe that a lot of it is with the media and everything else. I don't think anybody's really, the people out here such as ourselves, really don't know the truth because we're hearing so many stories. But I, as a mother, know one thing for sure. The child did not disappear off the face of the earth. It just doesn't happen that way. And maybe somebody's got their timeline screwed up. Maybe when those kids said that he was in the school, maybe he was never even in the school that day. Maybe the days are wrong. We don't even know. And to hear
The child did get his days mixed up. And obviously with the entire pressure of the nation being on all these children and their parents, when they're home, their parents are probably quizzing them. Did you see Kyron? Did you see Kyron? They're going to blurt out an answer.
That's exactly the way I feel. So it goes back to square one, and I would put my money on the dog because they would have picked up his scent if he was walked out of the school or if he was picked up off his feet. And it doesn't seem like they really did their job where the dogs are concerned, because I've seen these dogs work on other cases where they can, there's dogs for every single thing, whether it's Trace with his scent going to the truck, getting into a vehicle, walking down the hall. They would have known where he was and if he was picked up off his feet and just walked out of there. And that never seemed to be an issue. It never seemed to come out in the media. So I personally don't know who did what, but the fact still remains that the little boy is missing, and there's a lot of questions that haven't been answered. And if they thought Terry did it, she'd be in jail.
Good point. Thank you, Cindy. We have another caller from the Oregon area. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Hi, this is Emily again, bothering you, but you're doing such a great show. I wanted to add something about the fundraisers, and that is that apparently $14,000 were donated, you know, starting in June to that foundation, and none of that money has been spent. Now this money that was raised on Wednesday with the fundraiser at Godfather's Pizza is I believe they said $8,000 will go to Multnomah County and $6,000 to some, I don't know if it's a foundation or something different. But the fact is, the money's not being spent on searching for Chiron.
We don't know that for a fact.
It takes time to get a third.
They're not spending the money to search, so the private sector hasn't really entered it.
Well, it
right.
takes time to get a search together. You just don't say, hey, we're going to search here.
Oh,
you
yeah.
have to plan out where you're going to search.
It's
a long process.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. The $14,000 that came into the foundation for searching has been there for 3 months. You know, that
right.
that came in from the beginning. Why hasn't there been dog teams brought in, you know, those tracking dogs like the last lady was talking about? That would have been a huge help. You know, what's the deal? What would be the explanation for that?
Well, again, I'm not quite sure where the money is going. I was just simply bringing up the new foundation that was established, which was kind of out of the ordinary for a family that believes their son is alive and he's been missing 3 months. Usually you see that after a family has gone through this for a year or more. As far as where the money's been spent, if it's been spent, I trust Multnomah County Sheriff's Office that they are using it to their best interest to bring Chiron home. So, but I appreciate the call, Emily. We have 7 minutes left, folks. Again, the tip line, if you know anything regarding Chiron, and you can put yourself back to June 4th, the phone number is 503-261-2847. Again, 503-261-2847. 1 minute for each of you. Last thoughts, Mary Beth and Eric?
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting us to do the show. I think it's important to keep Chiron's face out there. And also to speak up for Terry, too, because the longer the focus is on her and the investigators aren't exploring other avenues, then the longer it's going to take to get justice for Chiron.
Yeah. And,
I agree.
We appreciate this opportunity to prove that we're not the same person. Mary Beth and I aren't the same person.
And we're not Terry Horman either.
And we're not Terry Horman either.
Well, thank you definitely for clarifying that. Levi, any last thoughts? I'm going to get a couple questions from the chat room also. Last thoughts? Where do we go from here, sir?
Well, I think that if we want to find out what happened to Chiron, then maybe Terry needs to clear the air. The reason there's so much suspicion around her is because of herself, because she's not cooperating with the police. She's got an attorney, and if you're innocent, well, you know what? You don't need a criminal defense attorney in a case that you have no knowledge of.
That's
I'm sorry,
point.
Who said she wasn't cooperating again?
Yeah.
Wasn't the police?
Well, the hearsay rule was that the, you know, the folks, made it seem as if, the parents made it seem as if she wasn't cooperating. But then again, the police came out and said,
well,
they don't take your
picture in your truck and pass it out to flyers if you're being cooperative and being forthcoming with information.
Well,
and
they
could
be doing that to clear her, too.
Yeah, maybe lies don't constitute as cooperation.
Somebody's asked in the chat room, you know, we don't know. Those are opinion questions. We don't know about what Terry does and doesn't want. So, but a question, if you are innocent, why do you want disposable cell phones and fake names? I completely get that.
He never asked them to buy them for. They went on their own and bought them. It wasn't Terry and it wasn't Dee Dee. It was a complete different person who went on their own using a fake name and gave them to them.
Yeah, that is, I don't know. That is a great question.
That'll all come out in the end.
Yeah, I think everything's going to come out in the end. And somebody asked, why not do a show for Kane and Desiree? We invited Kane on this show, and we also invited his mother on this show, as well as Terry and her attorney and investigators, and we got nothing back from any of them, not even a decline. So, but the offer was out there. And we try to sit on the fence post. You know, it's hard sometimes because I'm so passionate about this to go one side or another. But in the end, this is about the children, and in this case, Kyren. And I don't really give a crap about what happens under their roof. I just care that it leads investigators to where Kyren is, and I know our entire panel feels the same way. I want to thank everyone. Thank our listeners and especially thank our guests. Levi, you have a show tomorrow?
It's Labor Day tomorrow, so no.
Oh, I thought you had one on Sunday. Tomorrow's Labor Day? Oh, happy Labor Day, everyone.
Labor Day is Monday. Tomorrow's Sunday.
Yeah, tomorrow's Sunday, isn't it? But check out the Levi Page show. Definitely a great show. And
it's on weekdays, Monday through Thursday at 9 Eastern, yes.
And you can find the link on our page. And then for the Terry Horman support page is on Facebook. You can find it there as well. I thank our guests this evening. Our next show, and I want to remind everybody, this Wednesday, September 8th, is Kyren's 8th birthday, and it would really be good if he was home to blow out those candles, as somebody said on an interview the other day. Nothing would make any of us happier. So, again, that tip line, 503-261-2847, and Kyren, wherever you are, happy birthday, young man. Our next show is October 6th. October is National Domestic Violence Month, and we're going to speak with some advocates having a voice for justice. And then I encourage you to come back to us also on October 27th. We sit down and talk with human traffic survivor Dawn Schiller. Dawn is the author of the new book. She was also a part of the Wonderland murders, and she's a victim of porn king John Holmes. And as most of you know, I'm very big with human trafficking. If you want to learn more on human trafficking, you can also go to www.nwcat.org. All of you can be a voice for justice. What are you doing this week to make a difference? Until we meet again, be the change you wish to see in the world. And again, I thank our guests tonight. Good night. And as Levi just reminded me, happy Labor Day, everyone. Have a hamburger and hug your loved ones today and hang on to those kids. Thank you, everyone, and have a good evening.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
Can anybody out there hear my voice? Does anybody out there really care for a missing child?
stranger in a strange place, and I don't know how I got here. I'm so far away from home. I would run, but I'm afraid to, 'cause I don't know what would happen. Could I make it all alone? If I could get someone's attention, one kind soul to look my way, maybe you would recognize me from the pictures where they say I'm a missing child. Could be your son, could be your friend, could be your daughter. No way to know, but I'll be bound to love forever. Won't somebody please,
won't somebody please
come look for me. Like I vanished in thin air. All the places they can hide me, it's a miracle to find me. Do I really have